Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and last week, as Americans were still enjoying Thanksgiving leftovers, Weight Watchers made an announcement that changed everything for its 750,000 members. It was banishing its long-standing points plan in favor of a new system called Points Plus. The formula behind the new plan is based on scientific findings about how the body processes different foods. The biggest change? All fruits and most vegetables are point-free, while processed foods generally get higher point values, meaning they should be eaten less. For clients that have been faithfully following the system for years, the change might be hard to swallow. It's forcing them to rethink how they shop, cook, and eat. It's the first major overhaul of Weight Watchers in a decade. But with an impressive backlash by Weight Watchers members, has it been a wise move so far? David Kirchhoff, the CEO of Weight Watchers, is here to explain and take your calls about the new plan. David, welcome to WNYC. Thanks so much for coming on with us.
Thanks for having me.
And listeners, are you a Weight Watchers member? How has the new system been working for you, or what questions do you have about it? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Mr. Kirchhoff, speaking on behalf of, I guess, many Weight Watchers clients, based on the press I've been reading, why have you changed your point system in the middle of Christmas season?
You know, the rationale for making the change, which is, as you point out, it's been about 13 years since we fundamentally changed our program, and there was enough accumulation of science and understanding with respect to nutrition that we felt that the time was really appropriate to push forward. You know, to be honest with you, we knew that this was going to be a significant change for a lot of our members, and we knew from the experience we'd seen with people beta testing it, as they have been, particularly over the past year, that, you know, some people were going to take to it right away, and a lot of those people have. That doesn't necessarily make for good press, but that's actually the fact and reality. And other people were going to initially struggle to change from a program that had been working for them to a new program, which we believe is ultimately going to work even better for them, but it is a change, and that can absolutely be disruptive. You know, there's never a good time to do this. You know, doing it in January would have been a terrible idea because that's the time when our meetings are particularly busy. And so when you work all the way through the calendar, what we chose to do was to do it in a month that is typically more slow for us, where we could really focus our efforts on helping the people that are currently in our membership ranks this time of year, to help them sort of navigate the plan, knowing mm-hmm. that some people were going to have some of the transition issues that they've been having, and really focus our attention on them.
Let me go through two of the most basic changes, and then we'll take a few phone calls for you.
Great.
One, under the new plan, fruits and vegetables have 0 points. Does that really mean I can eat 10 bananas and not think twice about it?
No, and if you actually read through the program materials, you know, one of the themes that we continue to stress is not eating until you're stuffed, but eating until you're satisfied. You know, what we basically, when we've done all the calculations and math of the program, we did a target assuming that people would actually be eating their 5 servings of fruits and vegetables per day, which, as you know, very few people actually do. And so what we found was that typically it's, you know, people in terms of not being required to count points for fruit were going to, you know, somewhat or marginally increase their fruit consumption while trading away from, you know, things like 100-calorie snack packs and things like that. What that doesn't mean is that you can eat a carton full of bananas. And by the way, I don't think it would make you feel very good afterwards.
Right. And the 100-calorie snack packs, be it Oreos, which got mentioned in the Times article the other day, or whatever processed food, I mean, what you're leaning toward here more than before is that a calorie is not a calorie is not a calorie, right?
That's right. And we know that, you know, foods like fruits and vegetables, that the body works harder to process them. They're more nutrient dense. You know, they have so many beneficial things. And we really did have a situation where we would have people holding an apple in one hand saying, well, this is 2 points, and a snack bag of Oreos in another hand saying, well, this is 2 points, which shall I have? When really we think that decision should be a no-brainer. That doesn't mean you can't have indulgences on the new plan. You absolutely can, and it has lots of built-in flexibility for those types of things. What it simply means is that we felt that our program should have more of an opinion in terms of making the healthier, more satisfying foods the easier choice to make.
Ben in Carroll Gardens is not so sure about those zero-point fruits, right, Ben?
That's right. First, I just want to say I'm slightly biased. I'm not on this program. I've never done it, but a couple of my friends are. And my problem is with the fruits. Firstly, I don't think fruits should always be lumped in with vegetables. They're not the same. They affect the body in tremendously different ways. And by saying that you can eat, you know, as many of this fruit or just by promoting fruits the way that this program seems to me to be doing, disregards the key role that the hormone insulin plays. By eating a lot of high sugar fruits, you're going to spike your insulin, which we all know is a fat storage hormone, and it's going to make it that much more difficult to lose weight. And this program seems to completely disregard that.
I completely disagree with that. You know, that's a point of view that is not widely held within the nutrition community. That is a particular school of thought that is not accepted by everybody or, frankly, most people. And, in fact, if you look at consensus opinion among people who don't do this for any particular agenda, what they've consistently said is that fruits should be a mainstay portion of what we eat each day. And I think the notion of sort of somehow vilifying apples and bananas doesn't make any sense. Further,
but fruits
again,
do break down to sugar.
To be clear, we're not saying eat as much as you want. What we're saying is eat until you're satisfied, and we're saying that it's a better option than a lot of the processed foods that people are otherwise eating.
You do give points to fruit juices, even if no sugar is added. So you acknowledge to some degree that fruit breaks down to sugar and that we have to be aware of that.
Well, and in fact, when you actually eat fruit, your body is working to break it down, as opposed to when fruit is processed, that work has already been done, and so it has a very different interaction with the body.
Kathy in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kathy.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air. Kathy, you could turn off your radio so you can hear us in real time. And Kathy, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I was just calling to say that that for the first time in a very long time, when I wake up in the morning and I look at my day and I can see I have 29 points to play with and those 49 extra points a week, psychologically, it makes an enormous difference. I mean, you could have two cups of coffee and your 18 points on the previous plan could be gone. And so whether I'm actually in the end eating more or not or using all of those fruits, psychologically, the greater number has an enormous impact, but it also makes me a little bit worried how I can really eat that much more.
And
David, let me just say for the listeners who haven't boned up on this that there are a few more total points that you have allowable and a few more discretionary points, eat anything points, than in the old system, correct?
That's correct, but this is a two-sided equation. The point values of a lot of foods have also increased. Not every food, but many foods have also increased. You know, I'll tell you just by way of example, my total went from 31 to, I think, 43. In my first day doing the program a week ago last Monday, I actually was able to somehow use 52 points. And I made a bunch of adjustments since then, and I've been able to get back within my points range. And so it really it's really dependent on what foods you eat. So for people whose increase, who's sort of, if you're going from 18 to 29, what you're going to find is that on one hand, you're going to say, well, how can this be, particularly if fruit is free? But what you're also going to see is that, you know, you might have a pretzel that went from 3 to 6 points. And so I think that it's just really the thing you have to do, and this is the advice we're giving all of our members, you have to put the old plan out of your mind and start fresh on the new plan. The only thing the two programs have in common is counting and budgeting.
I heard that wine went up a lot in points value.
Wine did go up a lot.
How come? Did the science change about how we process wine?
Well, the most important thing to change about how we process, think about wine is that, you know, if you think about alcohol, it's pure sugar. I mean, that's what alcohol is, and I love wine as much as the next person. I think that as a result, you know, this is, again, it's just a reflection of that, and in particular the reflection of alcohol-based sugars. Again, this program, because you have those 49 points, because you have the additional points total, yes, you can have that glass of wine. You can have two glasses of wine if you're so inclined. You know, having a bottle and a half might be kind of hard to stay on program, but, you know, that's a different issue.
Carolyn in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with the CEO of Weight Watchers. Hello.
Yes. Hello. I have a comment. In 1986, I lost 25 pounds on the program at the time, which was, they used the word exchanges. And from 1986, I lost the 25 pounds in 3 months and never gained more than 3 to 4 pounds ever to this day. And I still use the exchange program because it's so easy. And the beauty of Weight Watcher is you can eat all day up until midnight, and as long as you eat all of the foods within all of the five food groups, mm-hmm. which is something that's probably a governmental
I'm going to cut this short because we're running out of time. But your point, I think, is if it's been working so well for me, why do I have to change, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, the point is that it works so well and it was so simple.
Right. And so David and Carolyn, forgive me. But what about for people who want to just say, well, this has been working for me. I lost my weight. I'm keeping my weight off. I'm just going to stay with what I've been doing, your old point system.
And you know, the advice we would give people is that it's very natural in week one of a new program when you're making the changeover to be a little bit intimidated by those changes. We've been testing this program for close to 4 years. We really believe it is going to help people be even more successful in losing and, frankly, maintaining their weight loss. We believe it's going to work harder for people. Transition issues like this, they're inevitable, but I think that what you're going to find is that the people, and we've seen this, that the people who stick with it, give it those few weeks to get their sea legs, learn the new program, and start adopting it, are going to have even better success.
If you're de-emphasizing or, you know, giving more penalty points or whatever it would be called to prepackaged foods, what about your own prepackaged foods, which Weight Watchers, I guess, makes a lot of money from? Have you downgraded your own products?
Well, most of those prepackaged, the prepackaged foods, in other words, the ones you see at the grocery store, are sold. Those are licensed products. We have been working closely. It's not our primary line of business, but we have been working closely with those partners to work to begin a process of reformulation in a way that biases them toward healthier quotients and sort of better ingredient lists and everything else. That's a longer process for to make those changes in grocery products, but it's something that we're pushing behind.
All right. It is gift guide time. As many listeners know, we are collecting gift-giving ideas from one guest today, and David Kirchhoff, CEO of Weight Watchers. Today, it's you. Thank you for agreeing to do this. What are you giving this year?
I got to go with a fruit basket.
And I could eat the whole thing now, right?
Not at once.
You know, that was so efficient. Give me 20 seconds on the most striking piece of science, can you do this, that you came upon that made you revise the points?
The degree to which different foods are more satisfying for the body to allow you to stave off feelings of hunger.
Uh-huh. So it had to do with hunger rather than weight.
Satiety. And if you're not hungry all the time, you're not going to feel the need to eat as much.
Right.
You're going to have more of a feeling of fullness and sort of satisfaction.
David Kirchhoff, CEO of Weight Watchers, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Happy holidays to you.
Thank you. You as well.
And that is it for today's show. Lisa Allison, Jody Avergan, and Paige Cowett produced this program with Alan Smith and Amy Machado. We had intern help today from Kristen Clark and Theo Branham. It's a freecountry.org editor, Anna Sale, and our senior producer is Megan Ryan. That's Debbie Fountain at the audio controls. Talk to you tomorrow. I'm Brian Lehrer.